Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, The Scanso, recording at our studio in East County. Today, we're going to be speaking with backers of the Safeguard Our San Diego Countryside initiative that they are attempting to get onto the November ballot. And my very special guests today are former supervisor Pam Slater Price and Mark Jackson, who led the successful No on B effort to block the Lilac Hills development up in the Valley Center area. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Miriam. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you, Miriam, for having us.
Can you tell us a little bit about exactly what this initiative is all about and why you believe it's necessary?
Miriam, it's really straightforward, and we've made it as straightforward as possible. The actual law itself is about 8 pages, and it simply says that if you're going to increase residential density for an area that's not entitled in the current general plan for more than 5 units, a majority of county voters have to approve it. It's that straightforward.
And this arises, of course, out of the history we've seen on the supervisors since the general plan was approved a few years back, looking at waiver after waiver from these developers that would come through seeking to just build whatever they wanted. Pam, what was your experience when you were on the supervisors? How often did that go on?
I served on the board from 1992 until 2013, so I was there for the entirety of the general plan update. And I can tell you that we started that 13 years before we finished it in 2011. It cost $18.6 million of taxpayer money to complete, and we went through several planning directors in order to accomplish it. We had representatives from every possible side who were there, including environmentalists, builders, residents, everyone. And we finally came to an agreement that we could live with this plan. We thought it accommodated everyone. It accommodated the new development that would be required according to the SANDAG projections for the county. And therefore, any housing needs that we would have required in the county unincorporated land were incorporated in this plan. It also resulted in large swaths of open space land for agriculture, for parkland, for hiking trails, for other amenities, and also for protection. These large open swaths of land, which are zoned at very low density, of course, are a very juicy target for developers who want to come in and purchase that land at very low prices because it is entitled for very little, and then go to the Board of Supervisors and get upgrades on that land so they can come in and make a huge profit.
So basically, this is land speculators we're talking about trying to stop with this initiative, not long-time property owners who kind of done the right thing and gone through the process and are trying to build something that allowable under the current zoning.
Miriam, to add to that, we did take drafts of this before the Farm Bureau. And tried very hard not to injure the little fellow. Family folks, there are specific things in the ordinance that address families that are trying to do things like do a state settlement of family land.
And the need for this obviously became evident, I think, to everyone when we saw the proposed Lilac Hills development, where it was basically a massive master-planned community. How many homes was that going to have?
It was scheduled to have 1,746 homes.
Yeah, so this is a huge project. I think some mixed use in there.
Yes.
Also, this is something where the developer, if I recall correctly, tried to do an end run around the environmental laws even by taking this directly to voters, putting it on the ballot to try to win voter approval for something that maybe the supervisors would not have approved.
That's correct.
And in November 2016, the good listeners out there sent that result. 64% of the county of San Diego resoundingly rejected it.
Wow, so two-thirds. Basically.
And the real issue, almost 2-to-1 margin, the real issue now is you sit now, this is what, 18 months later?
Mm-hmm.
And it's still proceeding through as a general plan amendment. It's a zombie that won't die. Why won't it die?
Well, and of course, with term limits, the existing supervisors eventually are going to be all termed out. I think 1 or 2 of them already have been. And we don't know who's going to be on there in the future. So even though there's been kind of a bulwark against perhaps the worst of the developments. Mm-hmm. That could change after the next election.
I think right now we're in a position that if a large developer came forward, I think right now the votes are there to approve it on the existing board. The only member of the board that I know of who listens to the residents anymore is Supervisor Diane Jacob.
And of course, in 2020, she'll be termed out. And so we know that the developers are licking their chops, backing certain candidates that they may wish to get in there. This is not just about Lilac Hills, though, up in Valley Center. Can you, Mark, educate our listeners a little bit about some of the other proposed large housing projects in East County, perhaps the South Bay, other parts of the county that could be at stake with this initiative?
Yeah, Miriam, the really large ones are in Otay Village 13 and 14, and those are all in the range of 2,000 units each. They're significant, and for you folks that live there, I feel your pain and traffic. And it, things like Star Ranch.
Campo area, yeah.
Yep. And that's no place to add 450 dense homes. There's another issue that Miriam highlighted, and these competitive elections. A competitive election for a supervisor these days is about $500,000. In the last competitive cycle, where there's a competitive supervisor election, the majority of funding for this, for the supervisorial campaign, came from these folks seeking general plan amendments. These are rich returns, and it's a cycle, this is personal opinion, it's a cycle of influence buying.
So it really becomes almost a pay-per-play scheme.
It is, and it's sadly, it's not illegal. If a developer gives a candidate large contributions, the maximum amount allowable, and in addition creates a PAC, that PAC can independently take many, many more thousands of dollars, and they can campaign on their own for this candidate, and it's completely legal.
Yeah, very troubling. So this initiative would give control back to the people to decide whether or not they want one of these large developments or not. Let's talk a little bit about some of the problems that these massive developments can cause. Obviously, there's the visual blight and the loss of open space is certainly a concern. What are some of the other serious issues that each of you is worried about?
One of the major issues I'm very concerned about is fire safety and fire danger. These areas that we're contemplating, that we're talking about today, are all in the areas of very high fire hazard zones, as determined by CAL FIRE. And then if you look at the maps, which I'm sure are available, the areas that we're talking about are all dark red. There is no land out there that is safe to develop because of fire hazard. And we've seen what has happened most recently, just last year. So we know that we must not overdevelop because, for example, the last time we had that large fire, instead of 157 or whatever homes being burned, it could have been more than 2,000.
Yes, and even worse, loss of life, such
yes.
as we've seen up in the Napa fires
yes.
recently and some of the Los Angeles area fires. And even I can certainly remember the Cedar Fire in 2003 and the 2007.
The witch fire.
Yeah, the firestorms.
Yeah.
There was gridlock for people trying desperately to evacuate out of the Ramona area. And heaven forbid if there'd been any more development
up
there. It was awfully close to being an even worse catastrophe with people trapped on the highways. And there was one point where we had, I think, three or four major highways shut down because of fire, and in one case, a plane that had crashed in the smoke on Highway 163 in one of these. And when we're talking rural roads, rural highways, it's only one lane each direction. You have to be really careful not to put more traffic on there than the amount of vehicles that you could get out safely should an emergency occur.
And actually, that brings up one other point, in that these developers do not look to put in the infrastructure that's required. They expect the taxpayers to do so using the county monies to build the roads. And if they are required to contribute, they contribute the very minimum amount that is required.
Yeah.
Pam, that's a really good point. Let me just illustrate that with some data on Newland Sierra, which is 2,135 homes in North County, San Diego. They're proposing an independent engineering analysis. It says that the impact to State Highway 78 and I-15, mainline traffic, to remediate it, just on the numbers the developer put forward in terms of its traffic load is $214
million. Wow.
They're offering to pay none, and there is no mitigation for that. In addition to that, they're paying for all of their cumulative impacts. They're paying, and this is laughingly to me called a fair share, transportation impact fee.
Wow.
At completion, over the course of probably 15 years, they pay $10 million. $10 million in today's cost buys a single lane of county road.
Woefully inadequate.
One lane mile. Not even both ways. You need $20 million to get a one-lane road with, both ways.
And Pam, in the backcountry, especially areas like Campbell and Boulevard, some of these places, isn't water a serious concern also?
Water is a very serious concern because many areas, particularly of East County and the far reaches of Northeast County, are not served by the main lines from the County Water Authority, so they do not receive imported water. They rely upon groundwater, and the groundwater reserves themselves, they're being withdrawn because of the Indian casino developments, which are very large and they're not governed by county land use. Those resources are being drawn down, and the water becomes polluted over time as well. So the water is a very, very big issue.
It is a large issue, and certainly when we're coming off of 5 or 6 years of drought and news just out this week, we may be going into another drought. The snowpack is down two-thirds below what it normally would be for this time of year. So it's a very serious concern. Once those groundwater reserves are gone, they may not ever replenish.
Certainly not in the quantity that would be required to sustain continuing large-scale development.
Yeah, and we should note it isn't just Indian casinos that have been the problem. We've seen major energy projects coming in, things like building the Boulevard Eco Substation out there, the large wind project going in McCain Valley. All of these developers are drawing large portions of that water from the local groundwater sources.
That's right.
There.
That's right. And I know Supervisor Jacob was trying to come up with a regulation for that, but I'm not very hopeful of that.
I'm going to give each of you the final word here. What else would you like our listeners to know about the Save Our San Diego Backcountry Initiative?
First of all, you will see signature gatherers. They're out there now, particularly on the weekend. You'll see them at your major retailers. Please take a look. It's very short. There are 23 maps, which indicates every area that is part of the unincorporated county and indicates where it applies. And please sign. Ask any question you like. Look at it. The facts bear out, I think, for everybody that has a concern about the quality of life in San Diego and the fact that they don't want to pay to subsidize an out-of-state hedge fund's profits, please take a look at this.
Okay.
And I'd like to add that one thing we didn't address was traffic. The traffic, as everyone knows, is already a terrible situation, despite hundreds of millions of dollars being spent. These projects do nothing to mitigate traffic, as has been stated, so remember that. And remember also that you can sign this initiative no matter where in San Diego County you reside, as long as you're a registered voter. You do not have to be a member of the unincorporated county. You can be in any city as long as you are a registered voter, because this initiative covering the county covers all 18 cities as well as the unincorporated county.
Very interesting. So does that mean that it potentially could block, say, a large developer in Santee or one of the incorporated cities?
No, it does not block anyone that resides within an incorporated city, but it does pertain to the unincorporated county. That's just the way the system is set up.
Okay, so all county voters can vote on this, but it will only apply in the unincorporated areas. One other question, the devil's advocate question would be that San Diego does have a housing shortage, in particular an affordable housing shortage. What would you say to the developer's argument that we've got to provide more housing?
I'd agree with them. There is a quantity of housing, but this, when you're developing in places that don't have the infrastructure, you don't get there. That doesn't provide affordable housing. They're selling at market rate, and they're earning high margins.
These are large luxury homes. They're on large lots. They contain amenities such as swimming pools and other amenities, tennis courts, stables, and they are not appropriate for if you're considering low income. Also, people that can barely make ends meet cannot afford to live far from resources. They just simply can't afford that quality of life. So this is just an excuse to allow them to grab onto something they think is popular and to try to get their development through.
So developing infill properties is a better option for providing affordable housing and, for that matter, minimizing greenhouse gas from all the traffic that all the extra vehicles for these thousands of homes would put onto the highways, into the airways.
That's right. And that's why when the general plan update was developed, all of the necessary development for the unincorporated county was near village centers and near existing resources and cities so that people who move there would have what they need. And by the way, that would be a good place on entitled land for the developers to go look if they truly want to provide affordable housing.
So just to clarify, the initiative is called the Safeguard Our San Diego Countryside. However, the website is slightly different, I guess, because of availability. So if people want to get information about the initiative or sign it or maybe pick up copies of the petition to circulate to help get this on the November ballot, where can they go?
In about 2 weeks, about the end of February, go to saveoursandiegocountryside.org, which is a website. It was the No on B Lilac Hills website, and right now it says No on B Lilac Hills, and it's under construction, and in about 2 weeks it'll be there.
Very good. Well, I really want to thank you for coming on the show. Listeners, if you've just tuned in, we have been speaking with former County Supervisor Pam Slater-Price and the leader of the successful No on B Lilac Hills initiative, Mark Jackson, who has also served on the Valley Center Planning Board and a fire board. He's been a real strong community supporter and community representative. I want to thank both of you for taking the time to join us today on the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice.
Thank you very much. It's been my pleasure.
Miriam, thanks for having us. And listeners out there, please donate to eastcountymagazine.org. You get a lot of great things from this organization, including real-time CAL FIRE and evacuation news, which is necessary for life in our backcountry.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, Jack is referring to our East County Wildfire and Emergency Alerts. It's a free public service that we offer, and people can sign up to get those fire alerts at our website also.
And Miriam, I understand those help people plan evacuation routes, so they're life-saving efforts as well.
Yeah, it's important. So thanks to both of you for all that you've done. And again, listeners, you can get more information at saveoursandiegocountryside.org.